I want to share with you some verses this morning. I want to begin probably having you turn to John chapter 14 and verse 6. Does that sound familiar? John 14, 6. I want to talk about how Christ is the only way. The only way. All of the world's religions offer something that they may refer to as salvation. They're all looking or trying to promise a bright future for their followers. All but one of the world's religions teach in some way that salvation is fixed upon what we do. That salvation somehow has to be afforded by human effort. All of the world religions, all of them, with the exception of one, teach that. The one religion that stands out from all the rest is biblical Christianity. It's different from the others because it acknowledges the teachings of Scripture that man can do nothing to save himself. Do you believe that? You couldn't reach God. There's nothing you can do to make a holy God happy with you. We believe God's claim that He has devised a plan by which man can be forgiven for his sins. He did it. He did it all. He gets all the glory. Biblical apologists, those are not individuals who apologize for their faith, but people who defend their faith. They're called apologists. They claim that there are three criteria by which you evaluate religions and the truth of their claims. I'm not trying to razzle-dazzle you with big words, but here they are. Logical consistency. It means simply they're consistent. They consistently make sense. You don't start down this path mentally and come to a roadblock and say, well, you just have to jump over into this other path. It consistently makes sense. The second word they use is empirical adequacy. That means it agrees with known facts. And thirdly, experiential relevance, which means it enables and enhances our lives in our everyday world that we live in. And when you're arguing with somebody about which religion is the true religion, these types of arguments help. They do. No religion other than biblical Christianity stands up to the three tests. Logical consistency. What you see and what you experience in life, in the events of life, is consistent with what's described and the instruction that's given in the Word of God. What I'm saying to you is this is a practical book. This is a wonderful book. It's consistent with how we live and where we live. Empirical adequacy. Empirical means that it's based upon observation, the scientific method. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know how I know that? He proved it when He was here. He did things that only God could do. He was seen by many people, and some of them wrote it down for us. Empirical adequacy. Christ, the Savior of the Bible, demonstrated His perfections in the things that He said and the things that He did. The Bible is proven reliable by studying history and studying prophecy. Honest historians have always agreed with the Bible. They've come to the same conclusions that the Bible gives. True scientists agree with what the Bible says. They found it to be so by observing what they can see. The last word, experiential relevance. The message of the Bible has uniquely and positively affected scores of lives. Mine being one of them. God changed me. God remade me. And you, if you know Him as your personal Savior. Now, it's not my purpose to give a Christian apologetic this morning, but this message is about the uniqueness of Jesus Christ as the Savior. He's the only way. Biblical Christianity has the only way. All the other religions, they have another way. There's only one Savior, and Jesus is His name. There's a story told about a fox boasting to a cat about all of his clever tactics. He said, I have hundreds of tricks to escape my enemy. And the cat said back to the fox, he said, I only have one, but it seems to work for me. About that time, they heard a pack of hounds coming in their direction, and the cat quickly scampered up the tree and hid behind the branches up there. And he looked down at the fox and said, I've decided what I'm going to do. What are you going to do? And the fox said to the cat, he said, well, you know, I could do this, and I could really outsmart these hounds. And so it's, no, but wait, there's this other plan. About that time, the hounds arrived, and in a few seconds, the fox was dead. The cat, who'd been looking on, concluded, better one safe and sure way than 100 of which you cannot reckon. One way. I would announce to you this morning, there's only one way to heaven, only one way to the Father, only one way to know God. One way. And that is by repentance. That means that we decide that we don't want to live in our sin because it's going to destroy us and condemn us forever to hell. We're already condemned. And faith in Jesus Christ for forgiveness. The remedy to the problem, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible way of salvation, it works. It works. It works and will change your life beginning, as I said before, right now, today. If your life has not been changed, then perhaps you haven't gotten on this path, this way, as it's described here in our first verse. It works, it will change our life today, in spite of the fact that most of the evangelists only preach about what's going to happen when we die. People are going around knocking on doors and they talk to, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Well, I'm not ready for eternity yet. What about today? I'm happy to tell you that you can know God now. You don't have to wait till you die. But you must understand that the road that leads to God is very narrow. Right? It's very narrow and few there be, the Lord said, that find it. Christ is the only way. I want to look at three passages, the Lord allows us and we have time, beginning in John 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. It starts off, Jesus saith unto him, would you quote it with me aloud? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The context, Jesus is talking to his disciples about his soon departure. He says, if you look back to verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. He's talking to his disciples. Look at Thomas' question. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He's not thinking. He should know this already. The Lord's taught him these things, but he needs to repeat it. And so he answers him in verse 6, and the Lord said to him, I am the way, Thomas. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus is going to the Father, and he himself is the way. In John chapter 10 and verse 30, the Lord Jesus is said, I and my Father are one. If you've known me, you've known the Father, he told Philip. You've known the Father. Jesus Christ is our entrance to the Father. To the Father. I want you to notice the words I am here in verse 14, or verse 6, chapter 14. Do you remember the words that were spoken to Moses back at the burning bush? Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Verse 14 in that Exodus 3 says, And God said to Moses, I am that I am. Tell them, I am that I am sent you, he said to Moses. And that became a name for God. I am, if you look at it in the original language, the idea is he's the self-existing one. He's an uncaused cause. He needs no beginning. He needs no explanation. I am that I am. I think it's interesting that the Lord Jesus told while he was here on earth in John chapter 8 and verse 58, he told the Jews that he was the I am. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. We would think, well, no, Lord, you used the wrong term. I was. Before Abraham was, I was. No, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Do you recall what the Jews did when he said that? They took up stones. They were going to kill him. Why? He claimed to be God. He is God. And Jesus says seven times here in John, in addition to that in chapter 8 that I just read to you, seven times he uses that phrase, I am. Interesting, just to point out, as a commentator did for my sake, in John chapter 6 and verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. In chapter 8 and verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. In chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, he said, I am the door. In chapter 11 and verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. In chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine. Seven times all total, including our text here in chapter 14. He uses those words, I am. I am what, Lord? He said, I am the way. Thomas was asking, he said, well, Lord, where are you going? And we don't know how to get there. How do you get there, Lord? And Jesus told him, Thomas, I am the way. He didn't say, I can tell you the way or show you the way. He said, I am the way. And the verse closes with a fair warning. No man comes to the Father any other way. I am the way, the way. Salvation is the person of Jesus Christ. No Jesus, no life. No Jesus, no salvation. No heaven, no home. John continually emphasized, if you know Christ, you possess eternal life, and you're going to go to heaven. And if you don't know Christ, you are dead now, and you'll never know God the Father. For example, he said in chapter 3 and verse 36, He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. John's continually saying that. There's only one way. His name is Jesus. Is that important? It is certainly important in this day and age in which we live. The story is told of a man named Ron. He had a son. His name was, well, I don't know if I know his name. Had a little boy, it was his birthday, and he decided he was going to take him to a carnival for the first time on his birthday. And his son picked six friends to take along with him, and so the dad was okay with that, and they got out of the car, and the dad bought a whole roll of tickets. When they would get to a ride, he would tear off seven tickets, one for his son and one for each of his friends, and he would give them all a ticket, and they would go ride, and they would go to the next ride, and he would do the same thing over and over again. He got to one of the rides after a little while, and at the end of the line, there was another little boy with his hand out. His name was Johnny. And Ron asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Johnny." And the man said, "Ron, ask him, who are you, Johnny?" And Johnny said, "Well, I'm your son's new friend." And he said, "You'd give me a ticket." Ron, who wrote this, said, "Do you think I gave him one?" "Absolutely," he said. Because that little kid had come to the Father through the Son. And I want you to know that the only way we'll have the blessing of God is if we'll approach Him through the Son. When you get to heaven, you will not be able to say, "I did this" or "I did that." You will only be able to say, "Jesus did this for me." If Jesus the way, if He is the way, and He is, then there are a lot of other things that are not the way. Church membership, baptism, sacraments, death in jihad, nirvana, and all of the other things that the world promotes, the religions of the world, they're not the way. You have to approach God through Jesus Christ. It's a fact. Jesus is the way to the Father, the way to know God personally, to know God intimately. Now, the way is sort of figurative language. Way as in a pathway or a roadway, sort of figurative language, as we were walking through life in the direction of the Lord. And so the Lord adds some more concrete ideas to describe what the way is. He said, "I am the way and I am the truth." I'm the truth. The truth. That's something to be appreciated, to value, to treasure. There was a USA poll done many years ago now. And they found back then, I think it was about the early 1990s, they discovered that about 56% of Americans taught honesty to their children. Can you believe that? A Lewis Harris poll turned up distressing facts like that 65% of the high school students that were polled said that they would cheat on a major exam. There was a noted physician who appeared on a network news of late in a talk show and proclaimed that lying is an important part of social life, and children who are unable to do it are children who may have developmental problems if they cannot lie. Austin O'Malley said, "A lie has no legs. It requires other lies to support it. Tell one lie and you're forced to tell others to back it up. Stretching the truth won't make it last longer. Those that think it permissible to tell white lies soon grow colorblind," he said. There's a lot of lies our society tells. The check's in the mail. I'll start my diet tomorrow. We service what we sell. Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. Money cheerfully refunded. One size fits all. There are all sorts of things, aren't there? Jesus is not saying that He's the one teaching the truth. Jesus Christ said, I'm the truth. It's kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around a little bit, isn't it? Those who have found Jesus have found the truth. John says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. To know Christ. We can know Christ and be no longer the bond slave to sin. If Christ is the truth, then there's all sorts of things out here being proclaimed to be the truth that are obviously not. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, He said. He is not saying that He's the giver of life, though if He said that, that would be fine because it's also true. But the Lord Jesus said, I am the life. Sort of reminds me of Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ living in me. Christ, who is the essence of life in both the physical and the spiritual realm, wants to live in you. Along the same lines, I want you to turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 for our second passage. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 John 5, 12. Read it out loud with me. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Didn't I tell you John says that a lot? Here he is again. What does it mean to have the Son? What does it mean to possess the Son of God? Jesus said in John 15, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit in itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. To abide in Christ, to have Christ abide in you. John 17, 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That high intercessory prayer again. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. John 17, 26, and I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. I would just remind you of that simply profound truth. God has taken up residence in those of us who've accepted Christ as our personal Savior. He became our life. What is life? We read it in John 17, 3. Eternal life is to know God now and to know Jesus Christ who He sent. Well, how do I know Him? Well, He's taken up residence in me in the person of the Holy Spirit. Nothing I did, I can tell you that. Nothing I do. But Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life. Paul alludes to this indwelling Christ in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. So it's not enough to have a preacher in the family. It's not enough to be baptized. It's not enough to have a grandfather who prayed over you. One must have Christ to have life. Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see. But in God's Word, the light I found. Now Christ liveth in me. As rays of light from yonder sun, the flowers of earth set free, so life and light and love came forth from Christ living in me. As lives the flower within the seed, as in the cone the tree, so praise the Christ of truth and grace, His Spirit dwelleth in me. With longing all my heart is filled, that like Him I may be. As on the wondrous thought I dwell, the wondrous thought I dwell, Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this! Christ lives in me. The third verse is found in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. The last verse I'll have you turn to. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not Mohammed, not Confucius, not Buddha, not the Pope, not the church, not the pastor. There's only one name sufficient. Even within Christianity, there are Catholics who are teaching and ascribing to Mary the position of co-redemptrix. The Wikipedia summarizes the concept of co-redemptrix refers to an indirect or unequal but important participation by the Blessed Virgin Mary in redemption. Notably, that she gave free consent to give life to the Redeemer, to share His life, to suffer with Him under the cross, to offer His sacrifice to God the Father for the sake of the redemption of mankind and to bring about all particular post-assumption graces by way of intercession. But our Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, there is no other name. Redemption comes through one, not two, not ten, just one. And this one, a particular one, a unique one, His name is Jesus. Jesus the Christ, the Lamb of God, the Anointed of God, sent into this world to be our Savior. Are you saved this morning? There's only one way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's pretty plain, isn't it? We celebrate the Lord's table. We celebrate the only way. The only way. It's not because I said it's the only way. It's because God said it's the only way. If you're saved, then you know the way, you know the truth, and you know the life personally. Shouldn't you be telling those who don't know? Join me in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to share these truths. Thank you for the wonderful experience of partaking of the Lord's table, allowing us to remember, along with our risen Christ, that great sacrifice, to praise Him in His presence, to worship Him, to praise You, our Heavenly Father, for Your glorious love. Help us to worship, not now, Lord, but forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.